Welcome to season 5 of the Mindfulness Pilates podcast. I'm Beverly Densham, Mindfulness Pilates teacher of over 25 years and author. I really look forward to bringing you tips to reduce back pain to feel good, as well as working through stress to calm, with relaxation, positive affirmations and inspiration every week to inspire you in body and mind. Feel stronger, happy and calm. So big welcome to today's podcast. This podcast is all about overwhelm and overwhelm to calm. I've got a special guest because I love having guests on. So this week, really pleased to be joined by Estella Newbold-Brown. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
That's okay. So you're obviously a family lawyer and partner and head of department at Amplett Listenmore Solicitors in London. So how, and you're also actually a children's author and mother of twins. So should we just start with a bit about you personally? So how old are your twins now?
My twins are 4 and they start school in September. So we're going through a bit of a change at the moment, getting ready for school, but it's all very positive.
Yeah, that's really good. And we obviously are going to talk about your personal and professional overwhelm story and journey with it. But before we do, how did you get into becoming a family lawyer?
So I will have been qualified for 18 years in October. And I know it's shock. You're meant to be shocked. You're like, you can't possibly be that old. but before you become a solicitor, you have 2 years training. And part of that training, I was in family law. And I was in that department for a good kind of 10 months or so. And after that, I went into property, and it was after kind of shifting out of family law. And I did a family law seat when I did my legal practice course, which is like your law school that you do after your degree. And I really missed it. And I think it's because I'm a real people's person, and family law is all about dealing with people and dealing with people's problems and helping them. And it was just through the experience of like the law, studying it, practicing it in my training contract, that I realised that that's the area that I wanted to practice in. And then I've been doing it ever since.
Yeah, wonderful. Thank you for sharing. And I'm just wondering where to start with on the next bit of today's chat. We actually met on LinkedIn, and then
you actually,
because everyone listening to the podcast, you might be new, so thank you for listening, or regulars, thank you for coming along again. But there are two main things that I teach, which is mindfulness Pilates or the stress management. But we actually met via the mindfulness Pilates initially. So what brought you to trying it out for you, for yourself?
Well, I wanted to. So prior to the twins, I was like running marathons, running half marathons, running mud runs, you name it. My dad used to say, I'd be out for a run and then 30 miles later, I'd like come home. And then I had the twins and I met my wife, obviously, before having the twins. And then I just noticed that I wasn't making the time for myself. And that, you know, I think with having young children, it's all about survival at the beginning, and then going back to work full time and just managing all of that. But where they got to an age when I kind of got in contact with you, they were like three and a half. And I just thought I really need to start making some steps in changing my lifestyle and become a bit healthier, a bit fitter, but also really concentrate on me. And the fact that you had Pilates, but it was also linked with mindfulness, is what really brought me in. Because at that time, I do, you know, and I think I had some postnatal depression after having the twins as well, that I didn't realize until a few years later. And for me, and with a job that is quite stressful, I wanted to focus on my mindfulness and looking after myself. And that's what really drew me into coming to your Pilates classes, because the mindfulness is so strong in it. And it has such a positive impact on me after the class that I just, yeah, wanted to continue with it.
Yeah, thank you for sharing. I meant to talk about this with you before we started recording, yeah. But In relation to overwhelm, how was that overwhelm affecting you? What was making you overwhelmed?
I think with the overwhelmed, I think back to, because I've actually written an article that's going to be published soon, just about a period of time in my life where I felt really overwhelmed with work. And this is going back maybe 10 years or so ago. But I remember a week, and so 5 days, but I must have had 3 or 4 hearings in that week. One of those hearings was 2 days. I was commuting from Southeast London to North London. It was 2-hour trip there, 2-hour trip back. This is pre-COVID, where, you know, you weren't quite, you know, the working from home wasn't there, so the technology wasn't there. There wasn't a digital dictation machine. I had old-fashioned tapes, so I would have to go back to the office to drop the tapes up, like off, for the secretary to then type it up. And I had a week of commuting into the office to get there for like 7, drop off my dictation machine, pick up physical files or bundles for the court, go to court, go back to the office after court, go back home, dictate at home to work on the cases that I haven't worked on all day because I've been at court. And I had a whole week. And after that week, I remember talking to my friend saying, like, I'm never, ever doing that again. And the stress levels were so high and the feeling of being overwhelmed was so high. And that's a real pivotal time. And I was like, that is never, ever happening to me again. Because after that, I got quite ill. I think I had like tonsillitis and I was really, really run down. And there are times in your career where you'll have a busy period. And as you know, I'm really prepared and I write lists every day of what needs to be done. And as much as you prepare and get ready, you can't help emergency applications that come in. You just can't prepare for things like that. Mm. And it's just, you know, there are times in your career that you are going to feel overwhelmed and you are going to feel that you can't get your work done. But ultimately, I always get the work done. So I guess with dealing with the stress is, first of all, knowing that I'm capable, knowing that I can do it, but not letting that feeling of overwhelmingness, or, you know, even if that's a word, or feeling overwhelmed, getting the better of you. And that's where the tools that you've given me are really helping. And the breathing. The breathing is something I didn't do before. And if you said this breathing actually is a form of meditation, I'd be like, well, I can't meditate. My brain doesn't switch off. I can't possibly do that. But the breathing is just, it's just something that's just so amazing with me and what just really works. That if I feel, do you remember that it was about a month ago and I messaged and I said, I'm feeling overwhelmed. I'm just going to put my phone down and do some breathing. And I remember just putting my phone down. It was a Monday morning. I just had so much to do. And I sat there and I just did my breathing. Did it for like 6 minutes, closed my eyes, just sat in my chair. And then I just felt that I could carry on with my day. And I was in control then, because I'd noticed the feeling and the feeling didn't take over me. I got hold of the feeling, pushed it away, or, you know, dispelled it. And then I was in control to carry on with my day.
Yeah. Yeah, breathing's quite amazing. We are going to treat you to one of Estella's favourite breathing techniques in today's episode. And it's a really good one to just, I think what's really good about different breathing techniques, this particular one, you've got to concentrate. It's a good way of kind of switching yourself off and concentrating on the breathing. And then obviously you can get, the de-stress benefits of the breathing whilst you're doing it. So I think the nice thing as well is, like, you just shared that you were sat at your desk there doing it, so it's very practical. I was teaching a law firm a couple of weeks ago locally. I taught them online before with a stress management well-being workshops again, and what several of them were saying is, like, that they might have that somebody is saying, oh, people keep saying to me, go for a walk. Well, yes, of course it's brilliant to go for a walk, but you can't be going for a walk every single hour of the day when you've got a full-on day, or as you say, a day in court or whatever. She said, it's just not practical. I can't just keep going for a walk.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or other people have got, okay, this particular passion, pastime, sport might be your favourite thing, but you can't keep going off for sailing and stand-up paddleboarding. And, you know, all day long, every hour. It's just,
yeah.
And some people only know how to de-stress during their favorite things. It might be golf,
it might be going swimming. Well, that's great and good and well, but practically in a full-time job or a busy profession, you need something that's much more doable, that you can, like you are sat at your desk, or you can go to the bathroom on a toilet break, not sit on the toilet meditating, everyone. I'm not recommending that, actually. I am not recommending that. But, you know, when you are in a private space, private room or bathroom with the door shut, you can just stand, close your eyes, take 5-10 breaths. I mean, you did a whole 6 minutes that time, which is obviously really good, but you can just take a minute. So that can make such a difference. And I think it's understanding self-empowering ways that you can implement that's doable within a quick time frame within a schedule, absolutely. Especially as you say, when you've got extra things coming in as well. It just helps build up that resilience and that inner strength. And as you say, you can cope and you're feeling in control again. So I think we can be in control. We blame other things, other people, situations, which is true. They are affecting people. And especially in your profession, you know, there's some very difficult family circumstances as clients that are coming through the door. But it doesn't mean to say that we can't empower ourselves to help our own mental health to cope with that, like you're saying.
Yeah, absolutely. And you have to be well yourself and strong yourself to then help others, whether it's, you know, your family, your colleagues or your clients. But going back to what you were saying, I think that the tools that people need are ones that are realistic. So if mm-hmm. that morning I was feeling overwhelmed, well, I could have gone out and gone for a run for half an hour, but then I've lost half an hour of the day, and it might have made me feel better. But then by the time you've gone out, gone for the run, come back, got ready, that's like an hour gone. So I think with the tools, they are tools that you can just do as and when you need them. And as you say, it doesn't have to be the full 6 minutes. It can be a minute, can be 2 minutes. As long as you do them and you're in control, then it's really going to help you. And with the book, you know, that you've written for the lawyers, you know, you've got these tools separated out, so you can just go to, you know, if you can do them all together, and then you could have, you know, 7 minutes of doing it, or you can just pull little bits throughout. But what I noticed with your book is that with the class I do with you, you implement all of those within the class, within the breathing, the power pose, then you have the meditation, then you have your journaling. So you've incorporated those into your class.
Yeah, so then the mindfulness Pilates I do, I sprinkle the stress to calm tools into it because I want my clients to get as many benefits as I can for them. But then, of course, I do teach it separately as, you know, stress management, or obviously for lawyers and law firms and teachers and schools, obviously particularly talking about lawyers and your world today. So how do you find the positive affirmations? Let's just go for, we're going to pick a card of the day together. So how do you find using the positive affirmations? I've taught you several ways of using them so far.
Yeah, so with the journaling, the positive affirmations in the journaling and then writing how
that's
you feel.
That's one way of using them. So obviously, I'll pick a card. Let's pick a card for the podcast today. Let's see what we get. Best card for the podcast. So obviously you can think about what it means. You can talk about what it means. It's amazing for team building. I'm teaching quite a bit of team building in law firms and companies now, which is really helpful to build better relationships and better communication and hopefully longevity within the company. Best card for the podcast today. Oh, how funny. We've got calm to happy in 1 minute. This doesn't really go very well on a podcast, but perhaps we can talk about it. It says, close your eyes, breathe and relax 5 times, then open your eyes and punch your arms in the air 10 times and say, well done, smile. Oh gosh, what does that mean to you today, Estella? I obviously teach you this all the time.
Yeah, that means that your Pilates class has come to an end.
That's quite funny. That also means your stress management workshop has come to an end. But how do you, that is true. That's quite funny, actually. It's actually one of my favorite, for me, what this means to me is I created this tool and I teach it all the time. It's quite unusual tool. It, the individual tools aren't necessarily unique, like the breathing. You know, it's well known, breathing and meditation and everything. Smiling is just the part of being a human being, but we don't smile when we don't feel like it as humans. So what I find exciting about this tool is you can go from stressed or overwhelmed to calmer. You can build your resilience and inner strength and boost your mental health. You can boost your mood with it. Also, the high power pose of the punching is something some people prefer doing in private. I mean, obviously, in my classes, clients are generally quite comfortable to join in with the punching. But it's like being a runner and you're running.
It's really positive.
It's like you've won a race. And it really, and having the smiling as well with an affirmation, because there's a lot of negative chatter that can go on in people's minds. So for 1 minute, you just ditch all of that and just join in. And it does also boost happiness, confidence, and success. And for me, I love teaching the science of smiling and the science behind. There's actually 4 tools in this one Stress to Calm tool. And to me, that's quite exciting because, I mean, the team I worked with a couple of weeks ago, you know, seriously, I mean, I was on cloud heaven teaching this particular law firm. I was absolutely just on happiness cloud 9 of how they interacted and how they joined in and how they embraced it, and that they found it interesting finding out about the science behind each tool and why you would do that. And it's just like, oh, why would you bother doing that? Well, actually, they can feel it, they can see it, and actually see a percentage reduction in that stress. So we obviously brought that into the book. So I found your answer quite funny there. Class ended. So how do you find all the movements? So like the neck and shoulder stretches. And
oh, really good.
Because power stretching and things like that.
Yeah, I find with the shoulders, I think when I go forward rather than backwards, that it crunches. But I like that because I'm like, I'm working out that stress. Because I also have like deep tissue massages once a month as well, because that really helps me relax and I just feel amazing after. But I love all the stretches, and I feel the stretches are really good because you incorporate them with kind of core body as well. So you're not only like stretching, like in the class, stretching out your muscles, but then you're building up your core body strength as well. And the legs, when we kind of stretch the legs and use the band and pull the leg over and stretch all kind of around the bum, all of that, just I really like stretching, so I really enjoy that, and it makes me feel calmer after doing it and more relaxed. I remember one class recently I yawned and I was like, I must be so relaxed. I was just yawning. It was really nice.
Obviously on the Pilates exercise, because you do the whole, this isn't something I teach in stress management, all the course of it. Obviously, on the Pilates side, you do obviously good posture, which we do in stress management as well. You do the core strengthening, the stretching, the back strengthening, the upper body strengthening, everything strengthening. And the core stability breathing is quite different to a lot of the other breathing techniques that I teach for sort of more the de-stressy side. So, yeah, there's all sorts. And it's obviously very toning. And we don't do that really in the stress management side of things. But how do you find the journaling? Because journaling is something that's not so well known, although there is science sort of research behind the benefits. A lot of, you know, psychologists, therapists are using it to help with better mental health. How do you find it doing the 1 minute journaling?
So I bought myself a really nice journal to do it in that was from like a little shop that's local to me, and it's like a little spiritual shop, so it's got nice words on the front and came with a really nice pen. So when I bought that, I was like, oh, this is really nice. I'm gonna, you know, write the date when I do the journal and then write everything in, and it's got little boxes where you can put it all in because it's meant for journaling. And journaling is something that I probably wouldn't do unless we did it in class. Mm-hmm. And then when we do it and you say, you know, focus on these words, I actually like the pen flows, and especially when it's like, what are you grateful for? And I'm actually like, I'm grateful for a lot. And then I, you know, would write it all down, but I haven't gone back and looked through what I've written, which you do suggest. And I'd quite like to do that, to kind of go back and then see what I've written in the past, and then see whether or not that I'd be like, oh, actually, I might correct that and say something else there, or whether that would make me reflect more. But I find it quite easy to write down my thoughts. They come quite easily to me when you suggest the topic.
Yeah, yeah, it's really good. It's something I'm completely passionate about journaling. I find it's an amazing way to have a voice and express yourself and express how you feel. It can be really solution finding as well sometimes, but it can also be very inspirational, but it can also bring out negative stuff onto paper. I mean, the way I teach it, it doesn't have that angle so much, but sometimes people do go off into a bit of negativity. And that's a good chance to get it out of your head and onto paper, and then reframe it, or how can you feel more like that and things. So it's often quite a private thing, journaling, but yeah, it can be good to reread it, see there might be some action steps or things to add to your to-do list, or inspirational things you've written that you might want to add into your life, you just don't know.
And would you say that it's like the modern day diary?
It is the modern day diary. I think I was a diary writer as a child, but it was very much more, I did this, I did that, yeah. I went to school. It was all more of a, for me, I didn't know. I think diary writing can be journaling. Journaling can be diary writing. I think I just think it's become more of an encouragement of self-expression, especially if somebody's more shy or doesn't know how to express themselves as much. It can be a wonderful way to voice, to have yourself, to have an amazing life. It's just like your own do-it-yourself support system as well, because you can do it for longer than a minute, but it's amazing. I had somebody try it for the first time this week, and whereas when they picked the card, My Life is Magic, and I said, well, what does that mean to you today in their one-to-one program? And it was very negative. Very negative answer. But then they had a go at journaling for the first time, and they did it. It was inspirational because they realized that actually there might be some really tough things going on in their life at the moment, which there are, but equally she spilled off in about 1 minute at least five passionate hobbies or things she loves and doing or learning or. And so it was a complete transformation from talking to writing. And that's important, that we can have different forms of expression, or by talking about it to someone else who we trust as well is also a really nice way to do it. I just wanted to touch on, actually, so thanks for sharing your journaling journey so far. when I met you, you mentioned in your journey that you got ill on and off in the past, but even when I first met you, you were getting ill and run down very regularly. But tell me what you think, but you seem to have got into a much health, you're much healthier and staying more well, and not having to take time off. And how is it going with that?
Yeah, it's amazing, actually, because I was going to say, when you mentioned about us meeting on LinkedIn and then I had a session in your Mindfulness Pilates, I remember rearranging that about four times because I had tonsillitis.
Yeah.
And then I think the twins were ill. And then I was like, oh, I've had like 1 hour sleep because they're ill. And then I was like, I'm really sorry, I can't do it. And then I was like, this is ridiculous. This is just a 1 hour session and I can't even get myself to commit to, not that I can't commit to things, I really can, but I was like, I can't make the time for myself for an hour in a week because I'm always doing something else or, something else crops up. And because I work compressed hours, 5 days into four, I'm usually at my computer at like 7:45 in the morning and I start working. That itself it is quite a lot, and especially then I'm looking after the twins Friday, Saturday and Sunday with my wife. But I just, obviously something magical is happening with the mindfulness Pilates because my health is so much better. But you talk through some of the moves we do, you actually say this is really good for your nervous system, this is really good for this, and it just shows that it is and that it's working, because that, you know, I'd say that I'm doing exercise more and I've started running again, but that's just like a recent thing. My diet is better, but I do think it's to do with having a better mindset and a better, like, and not maybe not letting the stress take over, because stress is awful and stress is a killer and stress can really impact your health. And I think that the tools that I've been given have helped me manage that, which in turn then has made me healthier.
Yeah, absolutely. I've really seen an enormous transformation in you, like somebody who's just run down all the time, getting ill, not taking any time to, this is my sort of observation. I do actually have to be very patient with new clients starting for your type of reason, because I have to be patient, because it can, as you say, can take over a month for them to get past the line to even a turn up because of being so run down and so much going on, and having putting their, obviously, of course, we put our child or children first, and but then we've also but then eventually we wake up to looking after ourselves, and it's like, oh, it's so nice to see you like thriving. Yeah. It's like you're thriving properly again in every way.
Thank you.
Very
but also you do have a very positive energy, like I can feel it. So I do think you give off this positive energy that then is energizing as well.
That's very true. But I think and that's very true. I have got to the sparkly stage of life. And I'm hopefully an inspiring, very sparkly teacher. But of course, I think when you've been through your own rock bottoms and burn at multiple, like I've had rock bottoms and nearly dying and multiple burnouts and road traffic accident and goodness knows what back problems and major mental health stress in the past, I think that gives you an empathy, like you have an empathy as being a family lawyer as well. That gives me an empathy to understanding that life is tough sometimes. And, you know, some of the statistics I heard in the Lawyers Gazette of 1 in 10 lawyers feeling suicidal. Then yeah. there is work to do to help your colleagues, you know.
Yeah, well, there was a terrible, terrible tragedy a few months ago where I think she was a commercial lawyer. She killed herself and she had a young family, but she appeared and presented as just a functioning person. She didn't display any signs that anything was wrong, that she was stressed, and she would just go to work and spend time with her family, and she committed suicide. And it shocked the legal system. I remember on LinkedIn seeing so many posts about it and everyone supporting each other and saying if there's, you know, and that there is like a mental health week, but it needs to go beyond that. It just needs to be there all the time, and people need to support each other. I do think the legal world are really good. We do actually really, really support each other. But I think it just needs to be there consistently, because and this happens to people that other than lawyers, it happens to anyone. But I just think, yeah, if you can help others and give them the tools that they need to help deal with stress, to help deal with feeling overwhelmed, then hopefully no one would ever get to that stage.
Yeah, I think obviously it's always important to reach out. If anyone is suffering with their mental health, it's obviously always important to reach out, you know, reach out to a doctor or relevant, you know, medical professional. And it might be, you know, psychologist, relevant therapist or anything. It's always good to have someone to talk to. Some of the law firms that I've taught also have things like confidential, you know, sort of counselling type services available for their teams and things like that, which I think it's really good. And my sort of teaching is, I think it's preventative as well. I mean, it supports people. It's practical day to day, which, you know, you don't have to be in that high anxiety, high stress, panic, let alone as much as panic attack mode. If you are, then the tools can bring you back to okay and optimistic. I've sort of observed in myself and seen in others as well. But it supports during, there are good, challenging and sad times of life. And obviously with your work, you know, you're seeing that all the time. And if you can, I think it's about motivating yourself to use, you know, such tools. And Anna, who inspired this book, actually, she was a stressed lawyer. But I'm really proud that more lawyers have got it on their desk or bringing me in to teach their teams, because you have to practice. You can't, it's like brushing your teeth. You've got to keep grabbing the tools.
Yeah, it should literally be the same as brushing your teeth every day, that you should use one of the tools in your everyday life as a main, it's a maintenance. It's not reaching the point of being so under, like so overwhelmed and so overstressed that you then need a tool to bring you back down. It's just using the tool every day to maintain your mental health and to maintain your stress levels. So with the breathing, I do that at night. I'll be lying down in bed, and if I find my mind isn't winding down as much, then I do the breathing exercise and I spray lavender on my pillow, and then it calms me down and I go to sleep. I don't have issues sleeping, but what it does is it stops the lying in bed for like 10, 15 minutes, like, you know, thinking about things. It just stops that, and then I literally just go to sleep immediately. And that's the tool that I use every day, the breathing. It just, you know, there's different tools and they'll mean different things to different people and impact you in different ways. But the breathing just really works with me.
Yeah. We're going to go into the breathing. Thank you so much for sharing. We're going to go into the breathing now. So you can do this sitting, standing, lying down at your desk, even on a walk, actually. Probably don't do it while you're driving. So really hope you enjoy this. So big welcome to your number 1 to 5 relaxation meditation. Sitting, standing or lying down. If you're lying down, bend your knees for back support and place your hands on your tummy or arms down by your side, wherever is comfortable for you. You're going to do relaxation abdominal breathing where you let the tummy rise and fall. So you're going to be breathing in through your nose for a count of one, and exhaling for a count of two. In through your nose, out through your mouth, relax. And on the next one, you're going to breathe in for two and out for three. Breathe into your tummy like a balloon inflating, and then relax the tummy. Next one is in for three and out for four. Let your tummy rise and fall and relax your head, neck and shoulders. Well done. Breathe, next one is in for four and out for up to five. Just let your tummy rise and fall, well done. And on the next one, you're going to breathe in for five at your own pace and out for up to six. And then you're going to repeat this one more time, starting at number one. On the next out-breath, relax your shoulders, happy shoulders. In for one and out for two, relax. You know what you're doing now. In for two, out for three, relax. Relaxing your back, hips and thighs. In for three and out for four, relax. Relaxing your shoulders, arms, hands, thumbs and fingers. Let your tummy rise and fall. In for four, out for five, relax. My posture is improving. Relax your legs, hips, feet and toes. And finally, in for five, out for six. My posture is improving, re-energizing, feeling stronger, calmer, more resilient in body and mind. Remember, you can take yourself back to this breathing anytime you like. Take a breath in, you can either repeat it again or take a breath in. As you exhale, wiggle your fingers and your toes, slowly open your eyes or stay there longer and have a glass of water. Really hope you found that useful today. Enjoy. So welcome back after the breathing exercise. Did you join in? How did you feel before in relation to your stress levels? And then think to yourself, how do you now feel right now? Really find it helpful. So Estella, this is the one that you do quite a bit at your desk at work. Is that right? That you mentioned earlier?
Yeah. Yeah. The breathing in and out at one and going up to five is what before I go to sleep. And then the triangle breathing is what I do at my desk.
Okay.
So I find that really helps.
Yeah. So the triangle breathing is when there are different versions of it that I teach, but one of them is you breathe in for four, good posture at your desk, hold your breath for up to four, and then out for four, relax. If that's not comfortable, just do in for four, out for four. But just a top tip, make sure you never, ever go lightheaded or dizzy. That means you've over-breathed. I taught someone the other day, and they've spent a whole lifetime of trying to relax at bedtime and do breathing and meditation, never had a lesson. And they've just been making themselves anxious by over-breathing and going dizzy and lightheaded and wondering why nothing's improving, because they were doing it really badly and all wrong.
Oh, no.
And very tense.
Oh, dear.
don't hoik your shoulders up, everybody.
The opposite of the intention of breathing exercises.
Yeah, so you want it, don't over-breathe and just relax your tummy when you're doing it as well. Yeah, exactly. So something that exciting that's coming up together, really excited, is that finally we're going to be doing a book launch for Stress to Calm in 7 Minutes for Lawyers. Hooray! With me, my co-author Janie Lee Grace, and with yourselves as well, Estella.
Yes, very excited for that.
And Amphlett Littlemore, your law firm in London. So it's going to be amazing. We'll have to share more of that in the show notes. Anything you want to say about it? Thank you so much for supporting us with it.
Oh, just really, really excited to do it. And I knew that when we first met that we would collaborate. After reading your book and doing your classes, I was like, absolutely want to support you with this, because it's changed my life. And if it can change my life, then it can change other people's. And the more people that know about it, the better for the, and you know, this book's focused on lawyers, so the better for the legal industry, because I think that people would really, really benefit from it.
Yeah, thank you. And also, it's not just for the lawyers, it's for the whole team. And when I teach law firms, it's lovely to teach the whole team, or sometimes I teach different teams in one go, or might do back-to-back workshops with different, you know, sort of departments and things. So it's thank you. It's rewarding, you know, hearing that. You know, it's been, you know, been quite a journey, and here we are, full circle. Obviously, I wasn't meant to interview you the other day, whenever it was, because I was meant to interview you today. So yeah, I'm excited about that happening very soon. You're also an author as well, which I think is really wonderful. Do you want to share what your books are called and why you wrote them before we go?
So there's The Story of the Little Penguin, which is a story I wrote about my journey on meeting my wife. And I read that at our wedding. And then everyone at my wedding was like, oh, Sally, you need that published. So 5 years to the day, I then had it published, and I found an illustrator. And then after that, I was like, oh, I quite enjoyed writing that book. And then I decided to launch like an Isla and Quinn series of books, and the first one is The Sunflowers, which is a story for parents whose children, or parents that are separating, for them to read to their children, and it's up to the age of 10, and it's to help children deal with their emotions when they're separating. And there's some questions at the back which are really good to ask your children. And then the third book is Isla and Quinn Adventures with Agile Poppy. I just wanted to get my dad in one of the books, but it's a really positive message about aging, and that just because people are aging, it doesn't mean that they're fragile. Poppy is super agile in it, and he goes on an adventure in his shed, and they go into this circus land, and Poppy starts performing, and it's just quite a magical story. And then I'm going to write two more, probably one on sustainability with bees, and the other about boys wearing dresses. And I just want to touch on really kind of important messages, and for children to be exposed to them at a young age so that we can nurture and grow a very loving and accepting young generation.
Oh, yeah, that's lovely. Actually, an affirmation that came up this morning, which ties in with that, is I am loved, I am surrounded by love.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, and I think it obviously it'd be nice for, well, any family to have your books, but also every law firm and family lawyer as well. Because, you know, they're important, you know, your little penguins and you're meeting your wife. And I like the fact that, you know, like with the aging, a lot of people think, oh, you know, they get to their 70s and or maybe then they start having a fall and getting and becoming more fragile because that's maybe what they expect.
If
you work on your body and your mind, you can have a long, full quality of life and health and well-being. And so it can be more like your dad.
I know, exactly. And it's my dad's 74 and, you know, he was jumping off of roofs not long ago. And he needs to stop doing that in case he has an accident. But he just acts like he's a teenager. And he's just really active, agile, out every day, very healthy, eats a really good diet, takes care of himself. And I just think that he's got a positive mindset when it comes to that. Equally, my mum is. She's going to be in one of my other books as well about the bees. I'm going to get Grandma Sue in. And she's, you know, 72, incredibly fit, healthy, always busy doing things. I just think if you've got a positive, a youthful mind, then your body follows.
Yeah, I think I agree, youthful mind, body follows, but body doesn't follow unless you put the effort in. Unfortunately, when we do get to our 60s to 70s, 80s and beyond, we have to work at it a lot more. That's why I ended up creating things like chair Pilates. And like my dad's the same as your dad, but he was actually an England table tennis player in his younger days. But he ended up, he was very sporty and very athletic, but as he hit his 80s, he needed a hip replacement and he started to have falls. But yes, he's had the operation, but the Pilates and that amazing strength that I've taught him twice a week, he comes, means that he can play golf twice a week. He can have full quality of life. He can go to the sauna and swim with my mum every day. Didn't do much swimming, but he plays the golf. and he does, you know, all the weights at Pilates and all sorts. And but it shows you that it doesn't have to be like that. And the thing about your other book is the emotions, and like get your sunflower book with Isla and Quinn, giving, you know, the family and the children an opportunity to answer those questions and express their emotions. I mean, that's gold.
Yeah, absolutely. And the idea with that is that you can revisit those questions at any time. It doesn't have to be when you're reading the book. You could be driving to ballet or football, but the child knowing the story, then when you ask the questions, it's easier for them to open up. And I think it's really important for children to express their emotions.
Yeah. I did that in a different way with my, I think that's wonderful. I think that's really, really wonderful. As a child, I personally didn't know how to express how I felt. So that's why, and probably part of me ending up, you know, and having been in a domestic abuse marriage and things, I mean, not a great thing to nearly finish the podcast with, but the point is sometimes people go into professions because they want to teach other people the tools as a preventative measure, or prevention is, you know, better than cure from the young ones. I've got the Happy Kids cards for children. I thought it might be quite nice actually to see what comes up at the end today from the kiddie cards. So I've just given them a shuffle, found them out. It's much more fun for the children, little ones, to pick with soft toys and things. But, you know, you can do it how you like. Best card today. They're all a bit jumbled today, but oh well. Best card today. Let's go for this one. I am enthusiastic and full of energy. So for you listening, what does that mean to you? And for you, Stella, what does that mean to you?
That is my twins every morning.
Oh, is it?
At 6 a.m.
Oh.
No, I think that summarises my twins. They are incredibly enthusiastic, full of energy, wanting to learn, happy about life. But who wouldn't be as a four-year-old?
Yeah. A four-year-old in a safe, loving family, then absolutely yes. And if you know anyone's listening who know somebody who isn't in that situation, obviously they can obviously get in touch with you in the show notes and everything as well, can't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. Any parting words about overwhelm or anything, wisdom you'd like to share before we go today?
Yeah, just that if you do feel overwhelmed and you're in a position where you feel highly stressed, just know that's a temporary feeling and that you're not always going to feel like that. And if you take the relevant tools that you can manage that stress and you can manage feeling overwhelmed and get to a point where you know what the triggers are for feeling like that and you can use the tools and be preventative with it and not get to that stage.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Estella, for being a guest today.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thanks for having me.
That's okay. Lots of love. So thank you so much for listening to the Mindfulness Pilates podcast. Please rate and review on your podcast platform. You can access the free healing meditation to reduce back pain to feel good in the 3-minute morning routine on my website. And you can book your Pilates tailored toolbox, one-to-one programs, of course, the Mindfulness Pilates classes on Zoom, and also Stress to Calm workshops and programs on my website. Or just get in touch at www.mindfulnesspilates.com.